just got back from 2019, arrived at 2020, and here I am. I'm ready for this year, ready to kick some ass and take some names. How about you, Matthew?
Ryan McGee, I am so ready to
Matthew
kick some ass
Watson.
And take some names. Well, one of my New Year's resolutions is to only refer to you by your full name.
Yeah.
Ryan McGee. Hey, what's up, Ryan McGee?
Nothing much, man.
Yeah, man. We are back. We took a little, had a little break, a little breaky break, like we do every year around the end of Christmas and the beginning of the New Year.
So and yet people still remain confused, even though we've done this for like 4 or 5 years in a row now. We always take a break. Relax. Everything is fine. We just like to, you know how some YouTubers will be like, I'm taking a break from social media, or like, man, this YouTube game's getting on me. I might have to quit. And they'll post like a very like, oh, click this video. Do I quit? Am I quitting YouTube? Well, for us, it's just like, let's just take a 2 week break, three week break. And then, so that gets us all recharged. We get to see friends and family. We get to kind of rest a little bit, plan a little more for what's coming in 2020.
Yeah.
And mostly plan for things that we get to overpromise. That's mainly what are we going to overpromise for 2020?
Yeah, let's list all the promises and then do about two of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, I hope everyone had a good holiday break. I hope everyone's New Year was good.
No, I did.
Yeah.
Had some delicious food, got to see some delicious family and friends.
Ooh. Yeah, you see the old mom and pop?
Ooh, all four of them.
Nice, dude. Nice. I went to Hawaii with my family.
But not all of them.
Well, not my dad, but I did go with my mom and my sister and her husband. And I had a very delightful time. I've never been anywhere like that. And it's something that we have been planning for like
You've never
well
been to
a
tropical
year.
Location before?
No, not like that, no. I've never been to like a tropical. Well, I went to Jamaica when I was in like middle school or early high school on a mission trip with my church.
Yeah,
but we didn't go to like the resorts and stuff like that. Nice type of. We went to like the middle of the country where it was just kind of run down. So I'd never been to like a fancy tropical place like Hawaii. And it was beautiful because we've been planning this for like well over a year. It's something we've always wanted to do. So we did it. Very, very fun. Went to Maui. I got Maui'd while I was there. So I'm no.
Did you get laid?
Oh. Yeah.
you know, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but it was really, really fun.
That's
very,
good.
Very pretty. Saw a lot of whales. Like, just look out the window of my Airbnb and just
have
see,
you
like,
been
whales.
To Wales?
No, not the country. No, apparently
we should
go. I have some lineage that goes back there. Apparently,
obviously,
according to a cousin. But I've never been to Wales. Super Mega does Wales. Let's do that as our next travel series. Like, they did Japan. What are they going to do next? And then we go to Wales.
I don't know what we're going to do next, bro.
Yeah, we don't either. We're trying to figure that out, though. So, Ryan.
I mean, it's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple plan. Live action, games, podcasts.
Hell yeah, baby. Going solid for another year.
Yeah, I was thinking this year, this is the year of the half-assed podcast. So, all podcasts from now on will be about 30 minutes at most.
Okay.
I'm just kind of like in that mood.
Let's do it. I'm down for that, man. We do have some.
That's a joke. That's how we started the podcast, though.
No, I forgot about that. I go back
30
and look
to 45
at, like,
minutes.
There's episodes that aren't even 30 minutes of the podcast.
I think the airport episode that we recorded just like last year was 26 minutes.
There's some early ones where we were like, yeah, 27 minutes is good for a podcast.
Why not? It's 27 minutes of talking.
That's
Look,
perfect.
I go on JRE clips, and if there's a clip that's a half an hour, I'm down. I'm down to clown with some Joe Rogan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to get him on the podcast?
He'd never come on.
Why?
He doesn't like doing other people's stuff, I don't think.
What a selfish prick.
No, I guess a busy prick.
Yeah.
Well, he just looks like a penis. He may not be an asshole.
He's looking. He does kind of look
He
like
looks
a
like
penis.
A chode.
Yeah, he looks like a dick that's been beaten a lot.
He looks like a short, erect penis.
It really is a good, like, just in the energy about him, too. Like, yeah. That kind of, like, short, erect penis vibe.
Yeah.
Like a solid, when erect, 4 inches, kind of a little bit thick. It's kind of thick, and it's swollen with blood. It's erect.
But who would have thought, you know, back when you're watching Fear Factor, who would have thought this man is going to be the head of podcasting?
The most successful podcast host in
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, he's essentially, like, I'm not going to say he's the new whatever, but he feels like he's kind of like the what Howard Stern is to radio is what Joe Rogan is to podcasting.
That's a good way to.
And it makes sense when you look at the two.
Joe Rogan doesn't have his own Beetlejuice though.
No, he has Jamie.
No, it's not. That's not the same thing, man. Beetlejuice is one of a kind.
Andrew Yang. Did he go on Joe Rogan? I feel like he... No, he went on
H3's podcast.
He did.
God.
Why the fuck, though, would he go on H3's podcast?
Publicity?
Yeah, but like, when you're trying to have...
a younger audience,
when you're trying to have a serious political discussion, do you think, is the way to go? Like, I think Mr. Klein is a good proponent to help you boast and like offer up your political views.
Well, I guess it would expose it to a different demographic that's not going to be watching the debates and stuff.
I guess.
I mean, I don't see Bernard Sanders going on the H3 podcast.
Bernie Sanders went on Joe Rogan, so he doesn't need to go on H3's podcast.
Bernie Sanders did go on Mr. Rogan's podcast. But God, actually, like so much stuff has happened since the last episode of this podcast, like in terms of world news and in terms of just like us.
Yeah, in terms of my colon.
Yes.
People
have been wondering.
The news. Oh, by the way, I just got off of the phone. This is the dumbest thing I have. It's like the medical system is trying to leech and make like people owe them money for eternity.
No way.
I know. So get this. You know how I said I paid $1,300 at the hospital?
Yeah.
You think that would be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Today, I go and I'm like, I'm thinking about it. I call back the hospital. I'm like, are there any outstanding payments I need to pay back? Guess what, Matt?
What?
There is $1,000 more worth of medical bills I had to pay.
What?
You know why? Because they said, oh, that was just an estimate. But yeah, this is what it actually turned out to be. And then, you know, and I'm like, okay. So we're all good. He's like, well, you're good with the hospital. And I'm like, what does that mean? Well, you know, radiologists and the doctors might sometimes bill you separately. I'm like, what the fuck? Put it all on one goddamn bill. You work in the fucking hospital. Put it all on one bill. You're trying to do this so people don't see that they have a payment. So then they have to go into debt. They have to do that on purpose.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Where it's like, maybe they won't see this, or maybe they won't get it in the mail, and then I can, you know, send some debt collectors after them, and then interest will build up after time, and then they'll be indebted to me for life.
Well, something similar with phone companies is when I got my phone a year ago, when I got my little iPhone, I didn't want to have to do the monthly payment thing. I was like, you know, I'll just pay for it up front, so because, you know, I didn't want it to like have to end up on my mom's bill because I share a phone plan with my mom, and sometimes like the monthly payments will end up on her, and then like I'll just forget to pay it. So I was like, I'll just pay for it up front, so she doesn't have to do that. So I paid for the full thing up front, but they they decided to not put $12 of that without me knowing on. So I'm paying $1 a month or something, or 50 cents a month for 2 years. And I'm like, why? I wanted to pay up front, but it's just another way that, like, I don't understand. I have no idea why they do that. And
so
apparently
stupid.
It's like a thing.
So dumb.
It's like, why? Why do you have me on this 50 cent a month recurring plan? I wanted to... Why would I pay the full price of an iPhone minus $12 to pay in, like, monthly installments? Like,
50 you know, cents.
Guys, sorry, I'm $12 short of this iPhone. I'll pay it off over 2 years.
It's like... It's so they can... Maybe you'll forget about those payments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And that 12 becomes 24, becomes 48.
But I understand, like, the doctors are working through the hospital, but, like, why not bill everything under one, like, under one, just put it on one receipt?
I guess because it's different independent companies and stuff.
Like, then tell me. What if I don't get it in the mail? What if it gets sent to another address that look like it looks similar to mine in terms of like the numbers they get fucked up? Like let's say a 9 looks like a 6. Oh no. You know what I mean? And the mailman sends it to the wrong person.
And
now I got a debt collector after me that I gotta work with and solve shit with.
I had a bill that I didn't even know I had going to the wrong address forever. And I just had no idea. And then it was like tripled in price. And I was like, oh, God damn it. Because a lot of these companies only do it through mail. They won't do email. They won't do phone calls until it's too late. Like, they'll be like, oh, we're only going to send it through mail. It's like,
yep.
Yeah, but the mail is not super reliable.
So I might be getting separate bills from, I did two visits to the emergency room. And then I did a visit a few I got the colonoscopy, then nice. The regular doctor's visit. So I don't know like who's going to charge me for what I'm going to be charged for. I just have to wait and find out. I either wait for a bill to show up in the mail, or I wait for a person that calls me to go, you owe this money, you pay or you will go to jail.
Yeah, that sucks.
But
that's lame, dude.
Regardless, everything seems to be fine. Yeah. The Mr. I'm going to call him Mr. Wizard, my doctor, because he worked his magic, let me tell you. You know, every time I visited him, he's been eating. Like, he just, like, will be eating, like, a soup or, like, a sandwich. Like, he visited me, he's like, it gets my brain working, you know? It's better for you. And I'm like, okay. I don't need to smell your brothy breath, though.
But, yeah, but I don't think that, like, doing the kind of job you're, like, looking up people's assholes would really get you in, like, a...
I think it gets
mood.
Him fired up.
He's like, "Oh man, I'm hungry after this."
Yeah, but Mr. Wizard says that it was a complex case. Or sorry, Dr. Wizard said that it was a complex case, because the symptoms and stuff that I was experiencing, mucousy bowel movements,
nice.
Blood in the stool, nice, yeah. All of that, you know, consistency has changed and fluctuated very drastically within a month span. He said that led him to believe it would be either Crohn's or some form of chronic colitis. He, looking at the numbers and the data from the stool samples that I collected for him, you know, says that I do have a predisposition, like I. What is it called? I am more prone. I have the genetic makeup. It is hereditary. I have the genetic makeup to get C. diff, which is a form of colitis, but the tests show that I don't have it.
Nice. Nice.
So he says it looks like something goofy went on and my body some flushed it out, and now it looks like it could be gone. But I have to do one more stool sample.
Damn, dude, they're making you do stool samples.
So
like
I have
crazy.
To shovel through my doo-doo one more time.
We want to do a Patreon video of that?
Oh, no, man. I mean, we can.
Uncensored, we can show it coming out and then you digging through it. It's like we'll put Minecraft sound effects.
If you film it, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Digging through it, it'd be fun, yeah. I'd be down. I'll help you with it. I'll help you dig
okay.
through it and do all the shit you need
okay.
to do.
Okay, I'll hold you to it.
Okay.
When? In about a week.
Okay.
I'm gonna take a shit here. I'm gonna give you the little vial and shovel, and I'm gonna watch as you shovel my poop into a vial. Okay?
Okay.
It's one of those moments where you're still, because you're like, I gotta commit. I gotta commit, but like, is he gonna call me out on this? And
yeah.
At the end of the day, you're not. You don't have like you're a grown man. You can say no to shoveling through your your partner's
said yes,
shit.
Didn't I?
You did. So I'm gonna hold you to it, and you've doubled down on it. So it looks like even
I'm doing it, Ryan. And you're not even gonna you're not even gonna help. I want full control over the doo doo. I'm gonna be the one doing it.
Okay, I'm gonna.
No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. I want you need to be there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
no,
of course
I'm not. I'm
not
in a room
there.
Alone with your shit with a little set of small tools and. Does it come with gloves?
No.
Why do they not give you just a pair of like latex gloves with that kid?
I don't know.
It's like of all the things, it's like, yeah, use your bare hands with this whole thing.
So FedEx is gonna have my poop in its system again.
Once again. I hope this is just a regular thing. So like at any given moment, it's like, yeah, there's probably some of my poop in the FedEx system.
Part of me feels like the guy's like, yeah, it looked like it was weird, but maybe another stool sample. It's going to cost, like, well, who knows, $500. You know, that's what I'm expecting. That's why I think he asked me to do it.
Well, that's why I want to take some of the pain off you by helping.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's hope Dr. Wizard knows what he's doing.
He probably does, man.
But
he's a doctor.
Yeah.
There's bad doctors too, like Michael Jackson's
doctors that work for the Mexican cartel.
Yeah, yeah, those are bad doctors.
Though those are good; they're great doctors.
But they're bad doctors.
Yeah, exactly. Like wagging your finger, bad doctor.
I used to be able to make a sound if I wagged my finger fast enough. You could hear like flipping around. I can't really.
Jackson opened up this door earlier. Was he trying to say something?
He's trying to say that food's here.
We'll see you guys in a bit. I'm hungry as fuck.
Ooh, what a delicious meal.
That was good. Those were some good tacos.
I am actually feeling like way more energetic and better now.
I didn't have anything in my system.
I had nothing in
before
my system
that.
Except coffee.
besides like a little cup of water you graciously got me.
Jesus, dude, like, 2020, I know that we've done this conversation on the podcast a million times. I need to take care of myself and get healthy because I'm not treating my body right. Because literally, I don't eat. And when I do eat, it's not a lot. It's not good. I don't exercise. I don't drink enough water. I drink too much alcohol. It's just not good.
I'm trying to get a little healthier as well. I've been playing that Ring Fit game.
I'm going to get into that.
That Jackson got me for Christmas. I've been playing some Just Dance. I ordered a...
He didn't give me that for Christmas.
Well, sorry, buddy.
He got me a Simpsons bowling shirt.
See, that's even... One would argue better. But
hear that, Jackson? Sorry, I just wanted to know.
But I also ordered ordered a workout machine.
Ooh!
So,
dude, see. I'm so excited for you.
Me too. Because the thing is, like, I like the grind of something. Like, for instance, in let's say Call of Duty. You have to grind to get weapon skins in
like MMOs.
MMOs, yeah. You have to grind. I like grinding. I like that. I like being able to just to turn off and build something up and have a goal or something like that.
Feels great. That's why I like RuneScape so much, because all the if RuneScape didn't have all those little like levels like wood cutting, fire making, fishing, cooking, like,
which is why Ring Fit's good, because it's a game and it's
good,
exercise.
Good.
But
I'm gonna get it. I'm so excited.
I just know, like, for me, like, back, because I remember I lost about 50 pounds at one point during our super mega journey.
That was crazy.
I went from 230 to 178 or something like that.
Oh my god, yeah, I remember. You were below 180. That was your goal, and you did it.
And right now I am last time I got on the scale was 218. So,
218?
Yeah.
It's not the worst it's been.
No, but I definitely want to get back to being about like 170 something, 180 something. That's a goal, but you know, I've said that for the past 2 or so years since I've dropped 50 and then gained it back again.
It's
so,
really hard,
who knows?
Dude. I mean, like, also, like, I think just it's just one of those things, like, you want to change about yourself, but it's way harder than it actually seems. Like, you know, I would love to gain weight, but I don't have an appetite. It's hard for me to eat, and I sleep so much, and I just need to change all this shit.
Yeah.
I need to just, like, almost completely stop drinking. I need to just, like,
my eat. Problem is using food as therapy sometimes. I'll be in a down mood. I'll be sad and lonely and all that stuff, and then I'll be like, you know what I could do? I could order a big meal of Panda Express. Ooh, I could order Five Guys. Ooh, I could order McDonald's and get cookies and dip the cookies in milk and have a good time.
Well, that's the thing, is we're opposite that way, because my anxiety makes me have no appetite. I cannot eat if I'm anxious. Which
I'm not talking about being anxious. I'm talking about being
down.
Yeah.
When you got the downs, yeah. You got the sads sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, even when I'm sad, I don't eat either. Like, if I'm going through a breakup, like, I can go days without eating, or like, and that's so unhealthy. Like, I gotta force myself to eat because I'm just not hungry. But here's something interesting. I actually, for my age and my height, I am 10 pounds underneath the draft requirement.
So stay that way.
Yeah,
stay that
so
way.
I
so you don't have to go to Iran.
To go Iran, yeah.
Do we want to say Iran or Iran? How do we? I like Iran. I like it being pronounced Iran. But
so I'm pretty sure it's the proper way is Iran. But I hear both. I hear Iran. I hear Iran, and I hear Iran.
In Iran.
In Iran. It's confusing. It's like
I just say Iran.
I say Iran, but then Iranian sounds weird. Iranian sounds more normal. I don't know, dude. Yeah, that's a big global thing that's been going on since the last episode of the podcast.
Yeah, there's the whole World War III meme started just for the new year.
Yeah,
but
first meme of the new decade is like, hey, World War III.
I if I were to give any advice to our president, it would be to, what would Jesus do, Donald Trump? What would Jesus do?
He'd vote for Trump in 2020.
He'd fucking drone those fucking bastards to oblivion.
If Jesus had access to drones, he would have done it too. No, yeah. And then the fucking plane crash in Iran, like, right after.
Which, rumor has it, people, I guess Canada and the U.S. are saying that it was Iran.
Shot down
by Iran. Civilians killed by Iran.
A lot of people died.
Canadian, no U.S. civilians.
So I don't really care. Not, a lot of people have that.
Don't we still have a civilian in China or something?
Probably.
In prison?
Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm sure we have a few of our...
We have a few. Probably North Korea as well.
Yeah.
Probably in the basement of the Super Megaplex, too. We have not checked that in a while.
Let me get this straight, though. Iran, allies, China, Russia, right?
North Korea.
But if we're talking about people who are going to supply decent support, even though to Iran, it would be China and Russia, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And we're talking about under the table, like, here's some guns, here's some explosives, here's some tech, go wreak some havoc, give them hell, kid.
Go have some fun.
Go destabilize the West.
Yeah, but I
that's the Chinese president.
Xi Jinping.
Yeah, that was him.
Go have fun. Go play outside.
Just destabilize him. That's all we need.
Just go destabilize some shit.
I mean, they already got Trump on their side. They're fragmented already.
Well, we have God on our side. We have Jesus Christ. Well, I wonder if, like, we are going to go to war with Iran, because we're pretty close right now. And there's been a lot of scares in the past, you know, growing up with a lot of different countries. Because remember, last year, there was the whole, it was like, oh, are we going to go to war with North Korea? And then that fizzled out. But, like,
yeah, but, like, here's the thing.
Action
what would
have been taken with this.
Yeah, action has been taken, but at right now, I feel like it's simmering down. Yeah. You know, they did their whole, see, Iran, they did their whole kind of like, we're going to give you 6 hours to evacuate the places that we're going to strike. We're going to give you notice, and then we're going to hit those places, and then we're going to back off. That's what they did.
Yeah.
As retaliation.
Yeah.
And then Trump, what, was like, all is well. I have that famous tweet that people are talking about, blah, blah, blah.
All is well.
But the thing that is a bit disconcerting is that regardless of whether, you know, we know that the branches of government hold the president back from doing anything too malicious in intent to another country at this point, in terms of, like, starting a war, you know, he has the right to send, I forget the amount of troops that the president can send off the bat. But I mean, he can do stuff like that. But the thing that I'm a little worried about is the rhetoric that Donald Trump spreads to other countries, and then they can use that as propaganda against the United States in terms of us, for example, committing war crimes by attacking places that are,
like, cultural sites.
Yeah, cultural sites. I know that's a big one that people are talking about, but it's still just kind of like, I mean, threats are threats, and I get that. He's talking a big game because he's used to doing that and, you know, playing ball in New York.
Threatening something, like, completely illegal and, like,
yeah,
like an international war crime.
I mean, if there's any history book in the future that would be, like, who was on the wrong side, it would be the country who was threatening to, I don't know, commit war crimes.
Yeah.
So the United States, even though we have our allies and we're very powerful, we're not more powerful than two of the biggest world powers combined, which would be China and Russia.
Got together.
So there's no, and I mean, that's what would happen. We're not gonna. I mean, who's gonna join our side out of them? They're gonna go against us.
You know, what I realized
we're Russia's biggest enemy, essentially, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I realized?
What
we haven't even since the last podcast that we haven't touched on is that he got impeached.
He did get impeached, but it doesn't matter.
Not from office, but impeached.
Yeah, there's all these.
They put that MF in a peach.
I think Donald Trump definitely has created this thing where Democrats and Republicans on both sides don't know how to play the game right now. We're still figuring out. Like, when, what I mean by that is, you know, when the internet first came around, people were figuring it out in terms of, like, websites and putting videos online and sharing stuff and social media to a certain extent. People are figuring out, and then they get accustomed to it, and then people, you know, there's a way to go about using the internet now. There's just kind of like the normal way people do it. So I think that right now we're in this political climate that hasn't really been touched upon.
It's never happened
yet,
like,
and
this.
So people are kind of like testing it out. And yeah, he was impeached, but at the same time, we have a Senate that is majority right leaning, which is the way it should be. Not in terms of them being right leaning, but in terms of there being not a fully Democratic government, not a fully Republican government. But right now, instead of working together on things as the branches, it's more of just kind of like fighting.
Oh, yeah.
And fighting over one man who doesn't care about it.
No,
who doesn't
one
care
man
about
should
anyone.
Have all that power.
Not even Donald Trump.
No. I like Donald Trump Jr.'s Instagram post with Trump has Baby Yoda and said the Magalorian.
Donald Trump Jr. is the definition of tryhard.
Dude, his bio on Instagram is a general in the meme war. And I'm like, dude?
Yeah, he likes to trigger people.
Oh, yeah, trigger incoming in 3, 2, 1. Uh-oh, Ryan, you seem a little triggered right now.
I do seem a little triggered. I'm triggered by that man's use of Hillary in a jail cell on the clip of his AR-15.
It's ridiculous.
I want to say he's such a goof, man.
He's a big old goober. I think goober is the best word for him. He's a goober.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I was gonna call him stupid, but like my intelligence isn't up there with the elite. You know, I'm not too high in the intelligence bracket.
Trump Jr. is like trying to like be like his dad.
Well, I mean that's the plan. I'm sure he wants to run, right?
I'm sure he'll run for president at some point.
I don't feel like he'd have the backing that Trump does.
He's right now the top polling for 2024.
Trump Jr.?
Trump Jr. and Ivanka. No joke for the presidency in 2024. They did early polling. But that's early polling. That doesn't really say much. But
well, I mean, it kind of tracks with what the right side of the political spectrum has been going with, which is the cult of personality.
Yeah, totally.
I'm not saying that the left doesn't fall into that at all, because there definitely are, you know, like, I mean, Obama was a big personality with the left, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of memes from Obama's face.
Yeah.
But there's something new. There's something brand spanking new about this, even though it's been old news and people are tired of other people talking about it. And I'm sorry that we're talking about it, but it is a new year. Big things are happening, and we're going to probably have to put up with, I think we're definitely going to have to put up with Trump for another 4 years, four or five, yeah, 4 years.
Damn, yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. I honestly just like I can't predict anything anymore, because it's always just completely unpredictable.
Why try? Don't trust. Well, I think you know, as you're growing up, especially in your 20s, you're learning new things, and things are being solidified. Like, we all knew that agencies and huge organizations are corrupt, but when you think of news agencies, yeah, they are corrupt in their own way, but you don't really see it until you start paying attention to politics and stuff like that. For instance, you can be a fan of, like, you can be someone on the left, and you can watch MSNBC, and you can watch CNN and all these people, but the thing is that, in a sense, same with Fox News, they're going against their party sometimes, because, for instance, Bernie Sanders will poll well, but he won't even show up on the screen because they don't want to give him any TV time or any FaceTime, because they don't want to advertise him.
Right.
And so it's just kind of like, just, it's all so shitty. And that's the
reason. Really,
and honestly, that's the, I'm not saying that's why Trump's president, but that's one of the biggest reasons that he has become our president, and probably will continue to be our president, is because we're so fragmented, and people are, before corruption, you couldn't really, without the internet, you couldn't see it as easily. Now that everyone's minds are working together and they can see shit, it's just right there, and it's so obvious.
It doesn't get changed.
Yeah.
Like, it's obvious, but like nothing really happens.
It's not changing with the times.
No.
And so like you really can look at it with a microscope and kind of pick it apart.
Also, one other thing to throw on top of this,
uh-huh.
Just a little fun fact: Super Mega paid more in taxes this year than Amazon.
Did fun we? Fact.
Amazon paid zero.
Why?
$0.
But why?
I don't know. They just don't pay taxes.
Doesn't make sense. Is there a rule where you make enough money that you don't have to pay taxes anymore because you bring in so much for the economy or whatever?
I don't know. They just don't pay taxes. A lot of big companies don't, and because it's just corrupt. So I like that Super Mega pays more taxes than Amazon. Fun fact, very fun little fact right there.
Yeah, my bank account's being, you know, I thought Iran had trouble.
Oh my god, dude! Yeah, taxes are sucking me off this year, and not in a good way. They're giving me very bad head right now, big toothy blowjob, and I'm not enjoying it.
Not excited to.
I was like, hey, I got some savings. Nope, never mind.
Get to number crunching.
Yeah. But
yeah, the tax has definitely wiped out about 50% of my shit.
Oh, me too. Because we're doing our taxes early this year. And I'm just like, oh, no. I should have saved more money this year.
But it's a good thing you and I guess we should save more. But we save enough to cover ourselves.
We're still fine. It's just Uncle Sam is reaching in my pocket and taking a nice little
Give me.
That's what he's saying. He's saying, give me that money.
Well, come on. How else would politicians enjoy their sheet crab soup and escargot, dude?
That's true. That's absolutely true. I can't disagree with you on that one. Actually, I had a dream I was holding a snail last night, just on when you brought up escargot. It was crawling across my hand, but it wasn't leaving any slime.
I have this just memory for some reason that popped up in my head of this kid at a playground that like saw a snail, and it was like one of the first times I saw a snail just kind of like roaming around. I was like, whoa, is that a snail? He's like, yeah. Then he just steps on it, and I hear the crack, and you see like the cracked shell.
Oh, like, I'm psychopath.
Like, what the fuck, dude? I mean, yeah, I do that to other bugs, but it's not a pest. It's not doing anything.
No, a snail is minding its own business, dude, moving it like 0.2 miles per hour.
Swat a fly. Swat a mosquito. Don't swat a snail.
Snails are cute. I think so. I think snails are cute. A lot of people would disagree with me. They think they're creepy looking. I think there's something very cute about snails.
You would like the movie Turbo.
I don't think I would.
Why not?
The CG movie about the snail that races?
Yeah.
I don't think I would like that movie, honestly.
Oh, okay. I mean, you didn't try. You liked Angry Birds.
Well, that's very different. Angry Birds was a good fucking movie.
Yeah, but you didn't know that going in.
But Turbo just does not.
Odds are you have to watch Turbo 2 times in a row this week.
Oh, shit. Dude, I already have so much shit on my plate.
I'm sorry.
Odds are 50.
3, 2, 1, 39.
Okay, good. Thank God. I did not want to have to watch Turbo twice.
Yeah, I know. I could tell by the high number.
Yeah, I got so much on my mind and so much shit this week. I'm like, that's the last thing I want to do. And I do it too. I'd have to.
You got a lot of cleaning and.
A lot of cleaning. I got a lot of life organizing to be done. And actually, you know what? Speaking of the Middle East, speaking of good movies, we did something.
Oh shit, yeah, we did.
We did something we've been talking about forever.
Because you've always wanted to see this particular movie. Okay, if you remember in a past podcast, I think it was a podcast.
Several podcasts and several Let's Plays we've talked about how badly I've wanted to see the movie.
But there was one specific podcast where I said I saw this movie and you chastised me for not buying it because it was $4.99 and we looked it up on Amazon and it turned out to be $6 or $7.99.
That's right. Because Ryan saw a copy of Larry the Cable Guy, Delta Farce. At were you at Amoeba in Hollywood?
Yes.
And you saw a Blu-ray copy for.
I didn't give away the location because I was afraid someone would go and fucking snatch it.
Well, guess what? We went and snatched it up.
We went to go see 1917, and then afterwards we were like, we're in the war movie mood, dude.
Let's watch an even better movie.
So we went over to Amoeba, and honestly, my heart sank for about the first 2 minutes we were looking around Amoeba because we looked at the D section in comedy and we couldn't find it.
Oh my God, we couldn't find it.
But then all of a sudden,
I was like, "There's no," because Ryan. You had brought up that you had seen it like weeks before.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, we'll go and get it because there's no way someone went in and bought Delta Farce.
No.
You know?
But like, then we're thinking, maybe someone did.
You know, it's a big city. Maybe someone might have done it.
Thankfully, like the North Star that guided the wise men, a light shone out to me from one of the crates, and there it was, Delta Farce. And not only was Delta Farce there, brand spanking new, baby.
Unopened, factory sealed copy.
Stickers still sealing it and everything. So that movie's only been put inside of a Blu-ray player once.
And it was at your place.
Yep.
In your Blu-ray player with my eyes and your eyes glued to that screen.
So Matt and I had a double feature. First, we saw 1917, which we'll talk about after we talk about Delta
the
Farce.
The more important movie we'll talk about first. Delta Farce.
Wait, we're going to talk about Delta Farce? And not these wonderful advertisements that we are forced to read?
Oh, we made it. The holidays. Oh, we made it. The holidays came and went so fast, didn't they? And they will be missed, Ryan. But we also think it's time to just throw on some comfy pants and chill out. MeUndies wants you to treat yourself to some self-care and truly relax after all that hustle and bustle.
Matt, you don't get it?
What?
Treat yourself. Come on.
What's it from?
What? Parks and Recreation?
I haven't seen Parks and Recreation.
I think that might be what it's from.
Well, you should get over all that hustle and bustle in the softest undies and loungewear on earth. Literally so soft, it should be illegal. And it probably will be illegal in a year or two, so I'd go snatch them up now.
Matt, it's cold out, and it gets dark at like 4 p.m. And because of this horrible situation we find ourselves in, MeUndies wants you to know that they'll bring you some real comfort in the chilly months ahead. In sizes extra small to 4 extra large, with plenty of brand new products, the options of getting cozy are endless.
What?
When they say cozy mat, they mean it, with MeUndies that are 3 times softer than cotton and the cutest wintry prints and colors. That's like really soft.
Oh my god, so MeUndies is nice enough to send me and Ryan a couple pairs to try out every few months, and we share them. We'll give them back and forth.
It's kind of like how my childhood was. A week with mom, a week with dad. So it's like a week with Matt, a week with Ryan.
Yeah, and I gotta say that they are, I'm not bullshitting you guys, they're the most comfortable underwear I've ever, I'm wearing them right now. Well, I'm wearing this one. See, look, it's the,
what am I wearing, Matt? Oh, wait, hold on. Shit.
Oh, MeUndies. Those are MeUndies. God, if people know, if they knew what I was looking at right now, if they only knew what I just saw. Those are black MeUndies, and I'm wearing this one with the, like, the rainbow, the pastel colors, and they make you confident like Ryan just was. Listen to this, guys. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. That's a no brainer. You don't even need a brain to get that, especially because they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee.
To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/supermega. What's that, Matthew?
That's MeUndies.com/supermega.
Yay, MeUndies. MeUndies sound pretty comfortable, but do they taste good?
Well, they don't taste bad, Ryan, but you know what does taste good? My favorite food, honey. And speaking of honey, you know that honey is the free online shopping tool that automatically finds the best promo codes and applies them to your cart. And you know how great it feels to save, but how does it feel to save with honey?
Saving with honey feels like sliding into a seat on the train just before the doors close.
But yeah.
Feels like hitting every green light on your commute.
Oh, recently I was buying, I can't remember. I bought something back in December online, and I was about to check out, and honey popped up. It was like, whoa, you could be saving money right now, and it saved me like $30. I'm fully serious.
30? It sounds smack, like smackers?
It sounds like I'm blowing smoke. I don't remember exactly what it was.
You're not blowing smoke, Matt.
Ryan is. To put the cigarette out.
Okay, sorry.
But seriously, it saved me like $30. And then another time was when I bought my Nike Cortez Classics, and honey saved me like $20.
Well, it's not just you, Matt. Honey has found over 18 million members and over $2 billion in savings for those members. Isn't that crazy?
That actually scares me because that's so much money and so many members. That many people are using honey, guys. There's no reason not to, because using honey feels great. Think of it as a little daily victory. Plus, it's free to use and installs in just a few seconds. Just 2 clicks. Get honey for free at joinhoney.com/megacast.
That's joinhoney.com/megacast.
Nice.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Let's get back into this Delta farce convo.
We're in Iran!
We're in Iraq!
See, I said Iran to make it more timely.
Yeah.
Cause when you, well, actually, you know what? We watched this movie right before the Iran stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, dude, maybe it's because we watched the movie. It's kind of like the universe was putting things in our head like, hey, guys, prepare for war. So
they're giving us ideas because we were talking about making a sequel.
I know.
Why not make a direct, like, to VOD, like, just, you know,
we're in Iran.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, dang old Ayatollah.
Don't ask, don't tell.
That movie. Well, let's talk about this movie. I knew it wasn't gonna be good going into it because I like you know it was like a guilty pleasure watch. It's like we're gonna watch the Larry the Cable Guy movie that you saw for your birthday one year in theaters.
I was lucky enough to see it. I don't know if it was for my birthday. I think it might have been. I definitely saw it in theaters with my pops. Let me see when it released.
Did he think it was funny? Did he enjoy it?
Oh, of course. There's a lot of like Larry the Cable Guy falling down.
Oh, when he falls down, it does make.
I might have seen it for my birthday because it came out May 11th, 2007.
That does sound like
it would have had to have been in the theaters for over a month.
Yeah, an average run. Yeah,
and I'm gonna break away from this convo real quick. It might be a new year, but that doesn't mean that watch still can't fucking interrupt the conversation.
I just got this watch. I don't know. It's brand new. That was automatically on the beeping.
It's. One time you legitimately had to hide your watch on top of a pillar outside of a movie theater.
I don't know how to turn the fucking beeper off.
You just look it up online.
I will. I just got this watch, so I got a new Casio watch. So, sorry. My bad. But it was good-ass movie. Solid movie. A lot of funny jokes. Danny Trejo was in it. He's the bad guy.
I didn't realize that the green screen was so noticeable when I was younger, but now it's just like, Jesus Christ. Like, this is a movie that you give us, honestly, you give Matt and I $2 million and we can make a sequel.
A much better sequel, too.
Yeah.
Seriously. Who at Universal, Sony, I don't know who made Larry the Cable Guy.
Because at the end of the day, you and I. Give us 2.5 million. A million for you, a million for me, and 500,000 for the rest of the shit.
That would work great.
Yeah. It's all a scam, dude.
I'm fine with that, dude. I'll scam the movie picture companies.
My question, though, is how come they went with two out of the four, like, blue-collar guys, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of going, because they got Larry the Cable Guy and they got Bill Engvall and they got an actor, not like a, I don't know if he's a comedian of any kind.
I don't think he is.
I mean, I've seen him in side roles. Like he was Breaking Bad as the undercover cop that was selling, what's his name?
He looks like Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He looks like Jackson.
He kind of looks like Jackson with Carson's body.
Yeah, yeah. And,
like he stay like his he stands like a Tucker brother.
He does. He kind of looks like he could be like the fourth oldest Tucker brother that then like went off and pursued acting.
Yeah.
And I think that it's the movie had a lot of really funny jokes, like the gay guy that everyone was scared of because he was gay.
The gay fat Mexican man.
Yes.
And they used him as like their secret weapon.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because mm-hmm. they were like, just wait until you see what he does with you, and the guy was like, oh no!
I think it's alluded to that the staff sergeant was raped.
It does, yeah, it does.
Right.
I think so. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I might have to watch the movie again if I want to analyze this kind of stuff deeper.
They give him drugs, and the two people that pick him up in that sick car, they pick him up, and then the next thing we know. He's waking up in a house and he has a dress and lipstick on and he's running out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And my favorite part is at the movie at the end. They do the classic thing where like right when the movie ends during the credits, they just start showing all the bloopers. And it's like, look at everyone having a good time on set. And then just slowly like on the screen, it scrolls up. It says this movie is dedicated to the armed forces serving overseas. And I was like, that's just what they wanted.
I know.
The people risking their lives every day overseas, absolutely, probably. They're really grateful for that.
God, you know what production company would have done this movie justice? What? Because the jokes fall in line with what this production company has done in the past. No. Close. Happy Gilmore. Sorry, Happy Madison.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy Gilmore.
Honestly, Adam Sandler could have been in that movie.
As a cameo, because what if he directed it?
That movie. So one thing that's interesting is I saw the box office pull, mm-hmm. but nowhere online can I find the budget for it. I can't find how much it cost, and I wonder if they just didn't put it out because it's embarrassing. It was like, wow.
I thought business. They had to make that shit public.
I thought so too, but I can't. I tried searching it the other night. I couldn't find it anywhere.
Let's see. Delta
Farce budget. Like, I could not find it. And I bet Ryan's going to be able to find it very easily. But it was just such a enlightening experience to watch that movie, especially after seeing such an awful movie like 1917.
Holy shit.
What? Did you find it?
Okay, so in the domestic box office, hold on, it made $8 million. And then international, so then it made $600,000 somewhere overseas.
In Iraq.
I don't know where it played it, but then the worldwide box office was in total just $8.7 million.
Wow, that's bad.
But then the DVD sales were $24 million.
What the fuck?
Yes.
And we just contributed $4.99 to that.
So the DVD sales were three times that of when it was in theaters.
Damn, that's fucking unreal, dude.
But it made $3 million on the opening weekend. It played in almost 2,000 theaters. For average run per theater was about 3 weeks, almost a month.
So it's very possible you could have seen it for your birthday then.
It is very possible.
But what's up, Jackson?
Is he masturbating?
Yeah, he is. He's stroking his little.
Actually have his penis out?
Yeah. What's up, Jackson?
Oh, where are your keys? I can't find
them. On the counter. Okay. In the kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah. About to head out?
Yeah, I'm going on strike.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
Again? I'm going to borrow Matt's car to go get some little art supplies. So me and Justin can build some posters.
Oh, I'm excited.
Okay, well, good luck with the strike.
I'm getting some glitter for mine.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. And Justin probably wants some glitter, too. Get googly eyes for Justin.
Yes, he loves googly eyes.
For his strike sign. Well, good luck with the strike, man.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
All right. See you, man.
We'll see you outside, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
Or what are picketing hours? Because I want to make sure I'm at the office when
I'm going to get a bunch of people there, so I'm going to post the address of the office online. So
okay, yeah. Okay.
More than people come join me and start picketing.
Well, we want to support our employees if they want to go on strike.
Yeah, no problem.
Go for it, man.
Okay, cool.
We do have the right, though, to hire private security. Okay, so I'm just making sure
whatever
they do, we are not culpable.
And luckily, we do have a scab, Harrison, so we can get him in when Jackson's not here.
But I just want you to be careful, because sometimes private security can get a little. You know how they can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You remember the birthday party.
Now, do you know if this security company has a union?
They go on strike too.
You get them.
All right, man.
That's funny, right?
Yeah.
That's good shit.
You should make it reality and see how funny it actually is.
Yeah, go on strike.
I could, if I'm under strike, I could try blackmail all this.
Okay, Jack.
I think
whichever you guys prefer.
If you want to go the blackmail route, Justin is probably the number one person to go to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
For sure, man. We can't run for president, I'll put it that way.
Well, now we can.
Actually, maybe we could. We'll see.
I think our chances of, if anything, do you think that since Trump became in the world of statistics, look at this, in whole life numbers,
Mr. Matt.
Number, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're
just
saying.
Just a lot numbers. Of numbers, a lot of equations in the world, in our life, in our universe. Did the chances of Matt and I statistically, like, did the chances of us becoming president statistically, did they go up?
Yes. For sure.
Because Donald Trump became president, or do you think they're the exact same?
I think that we are more likely to be, I almost said indicted, more likely to be elected because now the role of the presidency is not seen the same anymore. It's not quite the same as it was before. So I think that we do have a better shot now at being elected. And okay. If I ever decide to take that route, I might have to thank the big man himself. Oh, DJT.
Jackson, before you go on strike, there's one more thing I'm going to need you to do.
Yeah, anyway.
Could you just take over the podcast real quick? I got to take a shit.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. All right.
And then after this, I promise you can go on strike.
Yeah, you can go on strike right after this. Thanks,
I've been waiting.
Man.
Thank you.
What's up, Jackson?
Hey, not a whole lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Get the mic a little closer to you. Yeah.
Is that good?
You got to be right up on that
Wait,
thing.
I'm going to go get my bag of pretzels.
Hey, Pretzelgate 2020, baby.
Baby.
Hey, baby. It's good to have you on the podcast, Jack.
Thanks.
How was your New Year's and Christmas?
It was nice. I got to see my family. They came out to the sunny city of Los Angeles.
Yeah, that was very nice.
We had a nice little time, yeah.
We went to New Year's Eve. We went to a nice tiki bar with them.
We did.
New Year's Eve was very fun.
New Year's Eve was a lot of fun.
I missed the countdown by accident because it was coming up really soon. It was like 11:59, and I was like, oh, I need to pull up like – So I didn't have like any way to see like the actual time by the seconds. So I was like, oh, I'm going on one of those websites that shows the exact time. And I jump on in there, and as I'm searching the website, it switched over to midnight. And I was like, oh, okay, it's a new decade. There it is.
I was taking a shit, and I was like, oh, I should call my girlfriend because it's midnight. And so I was like, I didn't realize it was going to be midnight, and I just really had to go shit. So I was like, well,
yeah,
because
you were gone when the thing, like, we were like,
I was like, well, because somebody else was in the other bathroom. I was like, oh, let me go to the other one of the house. So I went there to take a shit, and then I was like, well, it's 11:59. I can't very well get up and walk out there now. So I'm
you could have.
Start the new year with a little doo-doo on my ass.
I like it. What better way for you to start the new decade than by shitting? It's very on brand. I appreciate that.
Going out like I lived it.
You ended the decade shitting. You started the decade shitting. Yeah. That's good. I like that a lot. And then I've been having a lot of dreams about shitting myself lately.
Well, you texted me the other day, and you were like, "Do you remember when I shit in your face back in college?" I was like, "Man, how could I forget?"
Not like Bippy style.
Literally, yes, but there was less than 6 inches from my face to the shit that was coming out of your ass.
My pants were on when I did.
No, you were just wearing underwear.
No, I'm pretty sure I just had a pair of shorts.
It was just a pair of boxers, I remember.
It was not a pair of boxers.
It was a pair of, like...
What was I doing just to my boxers?
It was a pair of plaid boxers. We were having a sleepover.
I thought that I was... That sounds like middle school. Like, oh, you're in your boxers. We're having a fun sleepover.
No, it was like... It was the one time that I slept... Or not the one time. The first time I slept over at your house in Mount Pleasant.
And I did shit in your face. Yeah.
You did shit. Hey, it's okay, man.
Get a load of this. And then just... Pretty bad. Ryan's back. So, Jackson, you are free to go on strike now.
I mean, unless you'd rather do the strike for me, Ryan. I can hang out in here while you do the strike.
That's your call if you want to go on strike, Ryan.
If I go on strike, does that mean I can go like Call of Duty right now?
You could go play Call of Duty.
My strike was.
If like strike, you choose your own hours.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's whatever.
See, I'm going to be outside. No, see, I have the Switch. So I'm just going to be outside playing Final Fantasy.
For the podcast and ad reads and stuff, if I go on strike.
Yes.
No, no, no. You still get paid. You're just going on strike for me. So you're still getting your check.
Scam artist, Jackson. I understand, but like,
Jackson's the type of guy.
Edit on this one and then take my seat back.
Doesn't Jackson look like he could easily swindle you out of a couple million? Is that type of guy that, you know? Aaron said this about Review Bra once. He looks like the type of guy that would smile and shake your hand and swindle you out of $2 million.
I disagree with that. There's too much love in those eyes.
No, there is, but you kind of have that look. Like, see that smile right there? That's the smile of a man that could swindle some money.
It's just I'm purely self-motivation.
I like that.
That's how it works for
Superman.
That's
what he's doing right now. He's swindling us. Well, go on strike.
I'm pushing my brand right now. Thank you.
Nice boots, dude. Are they made for walking?
Yeah.
Is that just what they'll do? One of these days, those boots are going to walk all over me?
I don't know what you're saying.
It's the song, dude.
What?
These boots are made for walking.
Do you know what he's talking about, Ryan?
And that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Do you know what he's talking about?
I don't think
I've ever heard this song.
I don't think so.
I've never heard of this song.
All right, Jackson, go on strike.
Well, I'm stealing equipment from the office. I'm gonna take the mic with me.
He just takes the mic with him outside.
Well, have fun, Jackson.
Hey, good luck with the strike, man.
I love you.
I love you too.
Hey, have fun, dude.
Wait.
Ooh. Hey, good luck out there.
Thank you.
Ooh. All right.
Will you try this?
No, I don't want any alcohol.
It's just the flavor.
God, please do another time. I don't want that.
I'll try it.
Okay.
What is it?
It's Banthu, which is Chinese liquor.
Jackson just real quick brought us some. Oh, I smell it. Brought us some Chinese liquor.
Woo! It smells like mouthwash.
I've never tasted something weirder than this. It's.
How's it taste? Ooh.
Oh, what the fuck? Is that? Did you feed me detergent?
No,
his eyes are watering.
My body like rejects it.
I'm really
Matt, just like
Matt,
it's
please.
Just a little come sip. On, just take. Oh my god!
Can I spit it back into the cup?
My mouth and throat feel like I just did mouthwash. I gargled mouthwash for like 2 minutes.
What's it called?
Banthu.
Okay. So
it woke me up though.
It's Chinese.
it wires you up because you're like, fuck, I wasn't expecting that.
Oh,
Banthu.
It smells despicable.
It's so complex. There's so many weird ass flavors you, that like you would not expect.
And Matt, you love sweet, right?
Yeah.
This is like this is a weird sweet.
Yeah.
It's like sweet.
All right.
But okay.
You went for a lot.
Oh my god. What's your reaction, my friend? Right?
So
where'd you get this?
Oh,
Monterey Park.
Jesus, my eyes.
You gonna pour the rest in the sink?
That
my
was
friend?
The tiniest
I
sip.
This, I was like, I'm so curious. I've seen this stuff everywhere because you see the billboards for it around LA. There's like the really.
Yeah, I think there are like about three billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing.
It's disgusting. My throat is burning. What I can describe it is it tastes like concentrated Red Bull with an after note of blue cheese.
Blue cheese?
Do you taste the cheese? Like the cheesy aftertaste? Do you need another sip? Because
I see the cheese too. That was like, when I tried, that was like plum and
cheese. Blue cheese.
Blue, and like,
it tastes like blue cheese at the end. It starts like really strong Red Bull flavor and ends with like a blue cheese flavor.
Well, I didn't know. Like when they drink it, they have like a third of a shot. But like, I didn't know that, so I poured myself a full shot and drank it, and like...
Oh, you did a full shot of it? That's...
Oh, dude! I'm so sorry you had to experience that.
I can't even do a full shot of regular, like, liquor.
It's wild.
It's nasty. Go try that if you guys ever find it. That's...
And are of age.
That I had the smallest sip. See you, Jackson.
Have fun.
Y'all too.
What time is it?
Time for you to get a watch.
I'll see y'all at, like, probably...
He's gonna go to the P.O. box and pick up all that mail.
Get it?
Check in the mail? Anyway, Delta Forest was an incredibly fun night for me. I really had a blast with you. And I would
That was a really – honestly, like, when's the last time it – because you and I hang out, but we rarely anymore hang out, just you and I.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really fun. We'll do that again. Let's watch another bad movie soon. I really want to watch
– I sent you that screenshot of a movie that I saw.
Granddaddy Daycare?
With Danny Trejo.
We should just watch every comedy movie Danny Trejo's in.
I think that's impossible. I feel like that is over a lifetime's worth of movies.
He's been in a lot of movies.
He's just in everything. He'll just show up. Yeah. He's in Dora the Explorer.
He's diversified, man. He has a taco restaurant. He has
Does he have a donut shop?
He has a donut shop, like in LA. He's kind of like. And recently, he did a marionette show at this marionette theater in Los Angeles.
He just opened up Trejo's Clit Piercings down on Hollywood Boulevard.
I'm gonna have to check that place out. Next to my mom's in town, you know? She got a tattoo recently, so she's getting a little more adventurous.
Ooh,
like,
all right.
Let's go check
all
this
right.
out. I got my clip pierced, too. But it's fucking...
Why is...
I was trying to hold my laugh when you said that.
Trejo's like, clit piercing.
Let's talk about the movie we saw right before Delta Farce, which paled in comparison.
1917.
Best movie of the decade.
This is the best movie I've seen so far this year. I don't think I've seen too many movies this year.
I've seen Delta Force.
No, in terms of theater movies, like new movies that have released.
It was, well, you saw Cats. Was it better than Cats?
Cats wasn't in 2020, I don't believe. I think I saw that.
Oh.
I saw that while I was back home.
Damn. What a waste of a good 2 hours.
I know.
I heard it's horrible from everyone. But 1917.
It's so bad you can't even have fun with it.
That's never fun. See, Delta Force I could have fun with, but.
Yeah.
This is just. Cats does not look fun.
1917 was a great movie experience. I would recommend if you are going to watch 1917, try to do it in a theater, even if you have to wait for the dollar theater. I just think like the theater experience with the, like, Deakins, you know? Deakins knows how to shoot shit. And so him being the cinematographer for this really, really helped a lot.
My God. Because
usually you would think the first thing you do in a war movie. I know they did this. Okay, one thing I want to. First thing you think of that you would do in a war movie would be very hectic shots, very like, let's shake the camera. Yeah. But he did it to where not only is the shot composition wonderful, because it's, I don't know, Deakins knows how to do his shit. He's one of the best out there.
He's been around the block. You can tell.
The thing that I always find extraordinary when a movie does it right, and Birdman did it right in this movie. I noticed it, and I was paying attention to it, and I really respected and appreciated it, is the amount of choreography and planning that has to go up with shot composition when the camera's moving all the time, because you're not cutting to different shots.
Yeah.
You have to get, like, think of, like, great landscape shots. Now think of an establishing shot, then think of a close-up shot. This movie has to kind of go through all of that.
In one take,
like you get an establishment of the base, and then you get a tracking shot through the tunnels, and then you get a profile of a character that's speaking dialogue. It like the movie looks incredible, and I think it's acted well.
Yes, and real quick for those who don't know, the entire movie is shot to look like one long take. Mm-hmm. The whole version, like, of course there are cuts, but you don't, you never notice.
Well, when you, if you're looking for them, it's obvious when those cuts
are.
Like,
oh, it was an explosion. It was
like when it cuts to black or something. Like when there's an explosion and the screen, like all the lights go out for, like they flicker. It's like, oh, there was a cut.
But God,
or when they go past a hill.
Yeah.
And like it goes past the hill. It's just like you, that's not the point. The point of these movies isn't to tell where the cut is, because if you pay attention, you'll be able to tell. It's not rocket science. But at the same time, I agree where they did it in a way where you're not really. I noticed when, you know, stuff like that happened in terms of like, oh, they probably cut it there because I was looking for it. But it's just, they do it so well. There's one shot in particular. Actually, there's not just one shot. Sorry, there's so many fucking shots. There's the shot where they're going around like that pond.
And the camera goes over the pond,
yes,
and they go around. It's
yeah,
like they didn't need to do that. Like,
no.
They could have just gone around the pond with them, but they're like, oh, let's have the camera go like right over the water and then up the hill. I was like, God, the crane work,
yeah,
in that movie, like whoever operated the cranes and the like all that shit, like
I feel bad for the cameraman whoever has to hold that camera for that long. You
whoever,
know how tiring,
like, whoever,
that is.
Shout out to the cameraman or the people that did camera work in that movie, because
yeah,
that had to be so hard and taxing.
I think like just another thing that's technically impressive about the movie was the whole scene where they were lighting the scenes with flares and fire in the kind of burning town.
Yeah,
where like most of the lighting came from, like a flare up in the sky going.
Yeah,
up. Like that, it gets so many ideas across. Where like the guy doesn't have to say aloud, "They're shooting flares up so they can see me," and I have to, I better run when the flare goes down. You just get it.
Yeah,
like
it's such an action filled movie. And what I was thinking about when I watched it was if you could see in third person outside the camera,
mm-hmm,
just imagine, because you know like. The crew was just running behind the whole time with like microphones. Because think about like someone with a mic had to be running with them the whole time,
mm-hmm,
through all that mud. Someone had with like reflectors and lights to be running. And when the camera moves, they all have to run behind to get behind it. Like that had to be really exhausting.
And they did it well. There's two complaints, but there's two like, you know, when you do pros and cons, I guess those two cons of mine from the movie would be that.
Not enough sex.
Yes, not enough sex. But, one would be, I honestly think hiring very famous British actors to just kind of have their cameos every now and then, like Mark Strong,
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I honestly felt it took me out of the film.
It does, yeah, because it's like, oh, that's been, especially an actor that's so distinctively unique.
It's Colin Firth.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's
him. That was Firth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Colin Firth, that's Mark Strong, that's
Bend That Dick Cumbersnatch.
Yeah, and so like I feel like those were too like on the nose, which sucks because there comes a point in an actor's life where they're like so famous, like Tom Hanks, where you can't really see him as anyone but Tom Hanks. But at the same time, this movie casted them specifically to play kind of cameo small roles, so it was a little more like, it's a little more focused in that moment. You're like, oh, that's just who that is. You're not thinking of them, because usually these actors have a whole movie's worth, like a whole like an hour and a half to 2.5 hours to develop the character as they're going on. But these people only have like 5 minutes on screen. And so you're like, oh, that's just that actor. You're not really getting a vibe, like a feel for them as their character. And then
and they throw them in just because it's like, oh,
yeah, it's a big name.
Man.
You know, I saw him in the preview. I'm like, I'm gonna go see this. It has big people in it. I guess I'll trust it.
It's a draw to it. It's like you look at the cast. You're like, oh, Benedict Cumberbatch is in.
Yeah.
Oh, Mark Strong.
I want to give them proper credit real quick, but we're talking about the big kind of celebrity names in this movie. But George McKay or Mackey, however you want to pronounce it, or Dean Charles Chapman, both of those actors did a stellar job.
Incredible. I've never
stellar
seen anything.
Job.
And I was just, that movie, their performance made me cry on two separate occasions of that movie.
Do you think MACKAY, do you think that's McKay?
McKay.
So George McKay.
Oh my.
He, I'm not going to say he like blew me away in this film, but I really like him as an actor. I think they casted him perfectly with
yes.
his look. This is going to sound mean, but he has his look, his face fits what the movie's going for in like the World War II era. It's very,
he looks very British.
He looks very British.
And that's not an insult, because I know a lot that can be
yeah.
used as an insult.
And the way he emotes and works with his face, he has a very kind of like flushed, kind of
look when like something fucked up's going on.
How you'd be in war, I imagine.
Yeah, and so like he acted that perfectly. Chapman did Dean Charles Chapman.
He was amazing.
Did
too.
A great job. And the other con. Sorry, I have to mention this before because I did like a lot about this film. My favorite scene is the singing scene, just because I liked the transition. I liked the scenes that it transitioned from and into.
Yes.
I thought that worked perfectly, and just that scene in general. But the con, I said one was the celebrity, and two, honestly, would just kind of be the how the movie's technical aspects were so great and the acting was so good that I really felt like the story lacked in terms of, like, it was a very simple story. Like, it was a little, like, too kind of hokey in terms of some of the story beats. Like, the looking at pictures of family, the doing, you know, all of this, which is something you would, of course, attach onto a war film. But I think it as a war movie, it was a very by-the-numbers war movie in the story. Like, when you think of a war movie, this is exactly what that is.
The movie was incredible. And it really is a shame that, you know, we had to see such an awful movie after this.
I know. Two war movies.
Yeah, two of our century's best war movies, I'd say.
But I do recommend seeing 1917.
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed
my
experience.
I was scratching
my
hand out of anxiety at parts. Like, I don't know if you saw, but I was, like, twisting my skin and stuff because I was so anxious in certain scenes without even realizing it. And I'd be like, ow, my hand's red. I cried twice.
It has that, it kind of reminds me of the kind of tone of the anxiety. Because, you know, like, anxiety, there's different kind of feelings and levels and different situations that it goes for. It was more similar to Dunkirk than anything.
Yes, definitely. Because, like, when I watched this movie, I felt like the whole, like, kind of first-person nature really made me feel like, I was like, oh, this is what it would feel like if I was, like, in World War One.
Yeah.
And it got me so anxious. But, God, great movie. Great fucking movie. I recommend it.
I liked it more than Hacksaw Ridge, which a lot of people were raving
about. I didn't see
about.
Hacksaw Ridge.
I thought Hacksaw Ridge was even more hokey. Even though it is based on a true story and this dude is a fucking hero, yes. But Andrew Garfield isn't a war hero, so I can judge the movie.
Yes, he is.
he carried...
He's the best sniper our infantry has ever had.
No, he didn't kill anyone. That's the point of the movie.
You don't have to kill someone to be a sniper.
The whole point of the movie is that he refused a rifle.
He's a pacifist.
Yep.
He's like,
no, I am not going to use a rifle! No!
And then he throws
a tantrum.
He saved a bunch of people's lives.
True story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Clint Eastwood?
No, that was Mel Gibson.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yikes.
Yeah, but, geez, man. Before we wrap it up, like, what else is new? We went to Universal the other day with our good friends.
With Eddie, Jake, Gus, Sven, and...
Sabrina.
Sabrina Tony. Was there, and Tony. Okay.
Yeah, no, it was a super fun time. We just recently started hanging out with Gus Johnson and Eddie Burback and Nakey Jakey, and those guys are amazing. Super cool guys.
I feel like an asshole, dude.
Why? Why do you feel like an asshole?
Because...
Okay, I want to solve this real quick in terms of the way I think about how other people think about me, right? So when you invite me to something, your headspace, before I even answer, are you just kind of like 50-50? Are you like, he's probably just going to say no, but yeah. I might as well invite him. Well, like, what is your headspace? Because I dipped on Dave and Buster's just because I didn't feel like going out. Because I just have this like... I even kind of left a little early at Universal because I was getting this anxious itch to be home.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
I mean, everyone has a different personality when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, like, when you invite me to things or when you extend the invitation, are you like, more than likely he's going to say no or not?
Usually, yeah. Usually I'm like, I want you to come, so I'll invite you. And I'll be like, I'm probably going to say no, but... It's worth a shot.
Yeah. Every now and then I will say yes.
Well, yeah. And I'm bummed you didn't come to Dave and Buster's because everyone missed you. I got through. It was like, where's Ryan? I was like, yeah.
I feel bad because I did like hanging out with them. It was my first time meeting any of them.
They're super fucking cool guys.
Little did I know. I didn't know Jake did music. And back in, when did we go to Australia?
September?
So, yeah, sometime September like that.
Something like September, October. Yeah.
Well, one of my playlists has like a song of his in it, and I had no fucking clue
that it was him.
Yeah, I had no idea. In fact, you were there when I found out it was him.
It was after he'd already gone.
I was
back
like
where he lived.
Looking up. I was like, oh, he does music, and I watched like this music video of him doing Orange Justice in emo clothes. Yeah. And
emote in emo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I saw the thumbnail for another song that I recognized. And I looked at him like, wait, this is Jake? I had no fucking clue that was Jake. So I know he's not going to listen to this, but if you guys, I feel like I have to give him a shout out because, you know, I hung out with him recently. I like his personality and I liked his music and I want to give him credit. The song that I liked was Moby Dick because it has one of my favorite lines in a song of 2019. I'm not sure if I want to ruin it though. It's such a good line.
Yeah, people should go listen to it. He's good. No,
it's like one of the first things he says.
I think it is the first line, maybe.
If I had a nickel for every time I did this on Stuart, then I'd have a shit ton of nickels. I just love that. I'm just like, yeah, you would, dude. You'd have a shit ton of nickels.
A shit ton of nickels. Pockets full of them.
But it was Moby Dick by Jakey. No, yeah, dude, that's the song that I found out. Like, I didn't even know about Jake. When I found this song.
Yeah, and he's super down to earth. All of them are, man. Gus and Eddie and Jake are really cool dudes and expect a hopefully in the future.
I'm too awkward in person, like at Universal, like
what the fuck are you talking about? You were busting out one liners that were like splitting my side.
I feel for Gus and for Eddie sometimes because they'll be trying to have a conversation with me and I won't know how to like carry a conversation because like you being my friend, you know how I am. You being one of my best friends, you know how I act. You know, with new people, I don't know how to kind of like.
Well, I felt bad because your introduction to them was right. I was going up the escalator because I had to take a mean shit, and we hadn't met up with you yet because I thought you were still in the parking garage. I was like, fuck, I got a shit.
My anxiety was running. I was like, these are like 1, 2, 3, 4, like five,
then,
six
like,
new people.
You
I have no idea
who
they are.
Introduce yourself to them with all of them when I wasn't there. I was like, fuck.
I was doing that thing and I felt like a dick because they were like, hey, Ryan. I was like, yeah, that's me. And like, I didn't know how to be like, yeah, I'm Ryan. Like, I don't know.
Dude, they were all talking about you. Like, when you were at Dave Mustard's,
I had a good time with them.
We were talking there, like, at Dave Mustard's. They were like, God, that guy's so fucking funny. And we were, Jake was over at my house and we were, me and Jake and Ethan, Crank Gameplays, we were chilling, and Eddie. And we were talking about, Jake and I were like, man, like, me and you just force jokes down people's throats, but Ryan just will, like, sneak attack them. And it's the funny. That shit you said. On the fucking Universal tour.
Was it the Bill Burr impression?
Yeah, dude. We were talking about like Tom Cruise. Carnival, I don't remember what it was. It was like
Terry Crews.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Terry Crews. There was like a sign with Terry Crews and you did this Bill Burr impression. And it fucking killed me, dude. So fucking funny. I had a blast,
man.
I'm excited to hang out with those guys more. I'm excited to do some videos with them, too.
I'm glad that you and Jake for the first time. I don't know if it was. No, it couldn't have been Eddie's first time. But definitely you and Jake's first time on The Mummy, which is
dude,
my favorite ride at Universal.
Ride. Amazing.
If you are to go on any ride at Universal, if you were to only be able to go on one, it has to be the Mummy. It is, unfortunately, the shortest ride there, I think, but it's the best.
The Griffin thing you ride, that's even shorter.
It's still fun.
The new Harry Potter one.
Oh, is it short? It's more of a young teen to kid coaster.
Yeah. It's fun as fuck, though.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Kind of like Runaway Reptar at Carowinds. It's not Runaway Reptar anymore, right? Because Paramount took out their shit.
Yeah.
Well, so no
fun.
More peanuts.
They invited us out and we hadn't been doing much. I was having a bit of a bummer week, so it was fun to just go out and hang out with the boys. And we made that stupid video on the Universal tram that Hideo Kojima retweeted for some reason and got like 550,000 likes.
I feel like what's his name? Mike Wazowski from Monsters Inc. Because like in that tweet, like it blew up so much, but like. It like pans very quickly past me. I'm like, there I am.
Oh, so, like, the screenshot of you like paused. You like, yeah. So it's such a good like reaction picture. Anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in. This was episode 175, which means that
yeah.
We are
what
6/8 of the way to 200.
Shiznit,
no,
dude.
That's
shiznit, my brother.
Don't say that shit, man. I just did the math completely wrong on that, didn't I? 7/8 of the way to episode 200.
All right.
Pretty dope. All right, guys. Well, thank you for being patient while we did our little yearly hiatus.
You said being impatient, right?
I said being patient.
Oh, okay. Some of them were a bit impatient.
Yeah, well, you know what? To those people.
Can we just write this in stone? for those who worry that we don't upload like about anywhere between 2 to 3 weeks in the at the start of a year, just know we always take a little hiatus as a break,
yeah,
as a breather,
and also
to spend with family, friends, recollect ourselves, and come back. Because I don't want to feel like I'm like 24/7 on the YouTube grind.
No, I can't,
because that drains your creativity.
Just
that drains you so
break
much.
Just is nice. You know?
Yeah, we just need a little one. So
we do that throughout the year. We'll take little like couple day breaks sometimes from the channel.
So thank you, oh wonderful overlords, for allowing us to take a breather.
No, but for the people that were patient about it, thank you. Because you know, sometimes we just randomly take breaks because we need it. Otherwise, we'll get burnt out and then hate what we're doing.
Yeah, and there's no point in recording or recording something when we're not in the mood to.
And other YouTubers, I know a lot of other YouTubers will force it out and like they just won't ever take a break. They have something every single day and like.
Well, not only that, they'll force out recording sessions. Like, if there's something that I like about you and I, if we're not feeling a recording session, like if we're two episodes, if like we plan like we're gonna record 6 episodes today, but 2 episodes in we're just not feeling it, we'll be like, we're not feeling it, let's come back to it.
So I don't want
to
put out.
So
shit.
Some like y'all have noticed sometimes like we'll be really hitting a series hard and all of a sudden it'll kind of pitter patter. It's because we want to be in the good recording mood when we record. If we're recording and we're not in the mood, then it's putting out content that's not lazy. It's putting out content that's just
not us, or not like we're not putting our heart into it. And you know, like behind the scenes, we do have pretty busy, intricate lives, and sometimes we got to take a couple days off the channel because you know shit that we're not going to talk about on the channel, obviously, because it's too personal, comes up, and it's like we need to take a little break. And we don't always announce if we're taking a little break, but we
thank
do
you
it
guys for sticking
year
with us.
Yeah, thank you.
And
thank
hopefully,
you.
Like, thank you to everyone who joined in 2019. If you joined the channel in 2019,
welcome.
Put it in the comments, and everybody welcome them. If you and I'm excited for all the people that will join in 2020.
Me too, man. Me too. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Check out a couple little sponsors in the description if you want to get some undies or save some money online. And with that note, I think it's time we blow this turkey stand.
With what?
Just push the button right there.
Oh, hold on. Wait, this one?
Yep.
Okay.